40 million people in Mexico do not have access to the internet. Our company, Altan Redes, is building a network that will connect them to the world. Chubb wrote insurance policies that gave the Mexican government, our investors, and partners the confidence they needed to make this happen. They also cover our construction risk, damage to the network, and environmental exposure. For a project this complex, Chubb was the one.
Learn more at chubb.com/WSJ.
What's news from the Wall Street Journal? Top stories and timely insights.
I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York. Coming up, a conversation about big Democratic wins in Virginia and elsewhere in the U.S. But first, these top stories. President Trump continues to put the pressure on North Korea during his Asia trip. He's hoping to find an ally in Chinese President Xi Jinping to curb North Korea's military ambitions. The U.S. and China have also announced several business deals valued at about $9 billion. It's now unclear whether AT&T will close a deal to buy Time Warner by the end of this year. The company's chief financial officer says the timing is now uncertain, marking a departure from his earlier comments that it would close later this year. Time Warner owns HBO, CNN, and Warner Brothers. The deal, if approved, is worth an estimated $85 billion. Puerto Rico is seeing more of its young residents leaving for the mainland United States as the island continues to recover from Hurricane Maria. The Wall Street Journal reports more than 860 college students have left the island for campuses on the mainland. The University of Puerto Rico, which has 11 campuses, was already facing financial trouble prior to the hurricane. Coming up, a look at election wins for Democrats. This is What's News from the Wall Street Journal. Welcome back, everybody. In a big win for Democrats in Virginia, Ralph Northam has been elected the state's new governor following a contentious race with Republican Ed Gillespie. The race was widely considered a referendum on the Trump administration. Joining me now to talk more about that is The Wall Street Journal's Aaron Zitner, news editor at the Washington Bureau. Hi, Aaron.
Hi. How are you?
Good. How are you doing? Thank you for joining us.
Absolutely.
Aaron, this was considered a pretty close race that at times got pretty ugly. What ultimately propelled Northam to his win?
Well, I would say it's the surge in the suburbs. In 2016, we saw, even while Hillary Clinton didn't win the Electoral College, she actually improved on Barack Obama's margins in a number of the suburbs outside of big cities. And these are communities that are diverse, they're densely populated, they're full of people with high education levels, and they become more Democratic. What happened yesterday was they became even more Democratic than before. There was very high turnout in the suburbs around Washington, D.C. and Richmond, Virginia and Virginia Beach, and Democrats improved on their margins at the same time. So that combination of the suburbs turning more Democratic in their margins and producing more votes than in 2013, the last gubernatorial race, I think is mainly responsible for Northam's victory yesterday.
So, Aaron, you looked at the breakdown of voters and who we saw come out for election night pretty closely. What can you tell us about what you found?
Well, the Republican candidate, Ed Gillespie, did hold Republican parts of the state for the most part, and in many cases improved on the Republican showing of 4 years ago. One exception is in Virginia Beach, which is the largest city, which is traditionally Republican, but the Democrat, Ralph Northam, won that. And that raises a second interesting point. Democrats are running a large number of veterans in House races next year. We haven't had the primaries yet, but we can say a lot of veterans have put their hand up to join primaries to become the Democratic nominee in a lot of House races. Virginia has a big military presence in the Norfolk and Virginia Beach area. Ralph Northam ran as an Army veteran and put that forward as part of his profile, and he won in a military region of the state. So maybe that portends that running with military credentials is a good thing to do. We also saw some traditionally Democratic groups show up really in force and support the Democrats. Young voters ages 18 to 34 exceeded expectations in their turnout, and they voted very Democratic. One of the most amazing statistics is single women are traditionally a Democratic group. They went for the Democrat in the governor's race by a margin of 77% to 22%. That's a 55-point spread. these aren't the biggest groups out there. They account for maybe 16% of the electorate. But when you lose even groups like that by margins that huge, it creates a real hardship to make up those votes from other voter groups.
Democrats also won another big race in Virginia last night. Danica Rome, a transgender woman, winning a seat in the state legislature. And elsewhere in New Jersey, Democrats also won the governorship, even though victory there was pretty much assured after a big drop in approval ratings for Chris Christie. I have to imagine these wins have Democrats looking ahead to more success in 2018.
The caution is that every election cycle, New Jersey and Virginia come up as a precursor to the midterm elections of the following year. The governor's races in these states are kind of off cycle, and they're kind of overread for signs of the broader political environment and what's going to happen. The House of Representatives is in play. Democrats have a real chance to pick it up. And as some of the analysts are saying, it was in play before yesterday, and it's in play again still today. There are some good signs for Democrats out of these races. Again, the voters who they need are highly motivated. It's often hard to get voters to show up in off-year elections. Democrats showed up and voted. And in addition, this is the point of the cycle where members of Congress are thinking about their futures. Should they retire and step aside, or should they go through the exertion of raising money and running again? We've seen quite a few Republican members of Congress step aside. It's not a tidal wave. It's not an unusually large number at this point. But if you're in a suburban district and you're a Republican, Barbara Comstock in Northern Virginia, Mike Kaufman outside of Denver, Daryl Issa outside of San Diego, these are Republicans that are serving suburban districts outside of big cities that look to be becoming more Democratic, you're going to be looking at the Virginia results and asking yourself, should I go forward or should I just announce my retirement?
And as far as these races being a referendum on President Trump, what do they tell us?
It's hard to read these results as anything other than a referendum on President Trump. Even though in many cases the candidates are not talking about the president, he has made himself so pervasive and so dominant in the political environment that he's the prism through which a lot of these contests are being waged. A vote for a Republican is seen most often as a vote to support the president. Even in, you know, Virginia and New Jersey, these were races for governor, not for House or Senate. A vote for a Democrat is seen as a vote to create a check on the president. And the exit polls showed that people who approved of the president were overwhelmingly Republican, voted for the Republican for governor, and those who disapproved of the president voted overwhelmingly for the Democrat. And the big surge in vote production in Democratic areas really has to be read in the light of unhappiness in those areas with President Trump.
Now, going back again to the race between Northam and Gillespie, President Trump did initially show some support for Gillespie, even tweeting on Election Day against Northam. But then after Gillespie lost, the president seemed to retreat from that support, especially on Twitter. What can you tell us about what was going on behind the scenes there?
Well, that's something that I imagine Republican members of Congress are going to look at. To have Trump with you and then to distance himself from you is one of several signs that we've seen from the president that he doesn't always have your back. And we saw this in the legislative process as well, where he encouraged the House of Representatives to pass a bill to repeal and replace Obamacare, but then tried to distance himself from that bill once the matter got to the Senate. Republican members who are going to take risky votes or run for re-election in competitive seats are going to want to know that the leader of the party is with them and with them to the end. They might not welcome the idea that the president is with you until you lose, and then he's going to step away.
Okay, a lot to consider as we look ahead to 2018. I've been speaking with The Wall Street Journal's Aaron Zitner, news editor at the Washington Bureau. Thank you for joining us, Aaron.
Glad to be with you.
And finally, the Hallmark Channel is gearing up for another season of its popular holiday movies. The channel's producers work year-round scouting out locations for its holiday movies, which have become a staple of the season. Altogether, Hallmark will air 33 new holiday films between October 27th and January 1st. They've also driven big growth at the channel. Ratings among viewers under the age of 50 grew more than 30% last year. And that's What's News. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli at The Wall Street Journal.
Spend time with Alexa, Then make What's News part of your flash briefing on the Amazon Echo, the Wall Street Journal. Listen ambitiously.